shrink and fade, and another shadow slid around the bend of the corridor. And there was a pair of boots in the centre of the corridor. She hadn't remembered any boots there before. She sniffed. The air tasted of rats, and damp and mould. "Let's get out of here," she said.
"How are we going to find Violet in all these rooms?"
"I don't know. I should be able to sense her, but I can't." Susan peered around the end of the corridor. She could hear men shouting some way off. They slipped out onto the stairs again and managed another flight. There were more rooms here, and in each one a cabinet that had been broken open. Shadows moved in the corners. The effect was as though some invisible light source was gently shifting.
"This reminds me a lot of your grandfather's place," said the Ogod.
"I know," said Susan. "There aren't any rules except the ones he makes up as he goes along. I can't see him being very happy if someone got in and started pulling the library apart." She stopped. When she spoke again, her voice had a different tone. "This is a children's place," she said. "The rules are what children believe."
"Well, that's a relief."
"You think so? Things aren't going to be right. In the Soul Cake Ducks country, ducks can lay chocolate eggs, in the same way that Death's country is black and sombre because that's what people believe. He's very conventional about that sort of thing. Skull and bone decorations all over the place. And this place,
pretty flowers and an odd sky.
I think it's going to be a lot worse than that. And very odd, too."
"More odd than it is now?"
"I don't think it's possible to die here."
"That man who fell down the stairs looked pretty dead to me."
"Oh, you die, but not here. You go somewhere else, away. You're just not seen anymore. That's about all you understand when you're three. Grandfather said it wasn't like that 50 years ago. He said you often couldn't see the bed for everyone having a good cry. Now they just tell the child that Grandma's gone. For 3 weeks, Twyla thought her uncle had been buried in the sad patch behind the garden shed, along with Buster and Meepo and all three bulges."
"Three bulges?"
"Gerbils. They tend to die a lot," said Susan. "The trick is to replace them when she's not looking. You really don't know anything, do you?"
Hello?
The voice came from the corridor. They worked their way round to the next room. There, sitting on the floor and tied to the leg of a white display case, was Violet. She looked up in apprehension, and then in bewilderment, and finally, in growing recognition.
"Aren't you..."
"Yes, yes, we see each other sometimes in beers, and when you came for Twyla's last tooth, you were so shocked that I could see you, I had to give you a drink to get your nerves back," said Susan, fumbling with the ropes. "I don't think we've got a lot of time."
"And who's he?"
The Ogod tried to push his lank hair into place. "Oh, he's just a god," said Susan. "His name's Bilius."
"Do you, drink at all?" said the Ogod.
"What sort of question?"
"He needs to know before he decides whether he hates you or not," said Susan. "It's a god thing."
"No, I don't," said Violet. "What an idea. I've got the blue ribbon."
The Ogod raised his eyebrows at Susan. "That means she's a member of Offler's League of Temperance," said Susan. "They sign a pledge not to touch alcohol. I can't think why. Of course, Offler's a crocodile. They don't go in bars much. They're into water."
"Never touch alcohol at all?" said the Ogod.
"Never," said Violet. "My dad's very strict about that sort of thing."
After a moment, Susan felt forced to wave a hand across their locked gaze.
"Can we get on?" she said.
"Good.
Who brought you here, Violet?" "I don't know. I was doing the collection as usual, and then I thought I heard someone following me, and then it all went dark, and when I came to, we were..." "Have you seen what it's like outside?" "Yes." "Well, we were there. The big one was carrying me, the one they call Banjo. He's not bad, just a bit odd, sort of slow. He just watches me. The others are thugs. Watch out for the one with the glass eye. They're all afraid of him, except Banjo."
"Glass eye?"
"He's dressed like an assassin. He's called Tea Time. I think they're trying to steal something. They spent ages carting the teeth out. Little teeth everywhere. It was horrible. Thank you," she added to the Ogod, who had helped her onto her feet.
"They've piled them up in a magic circle downstairs," said Susan. Violet's eyes and mouth formed three O's. It was like looking at a pink bowling ball.
"What for?"
"I think they're using them to control the children by magic."
Violet's mouth opened wider.
That's horrid.
Horrible, thought Susan. The word is horrible. Horrid is a childish word selected to impress nearby males with one's fragility, if I may judge. She knew it was unkind and counterproductive of her to think like that. She also knew it was probably an accurate observation, which only made it worse. Yes, she said,